You can turn over to the book of Luke, if you will. We'll be there in a few moments. I've been saved for 34 years. Last April, it was 34 years that I've been saved, and I've been preaching for 30 years. Along the way, I've learned a few things. I still got a lot to learn. I found that out too. But I've learned just a few things along the way. And I want to give you just a few of the things that I'm talking about. I'm talking about good general knowledge of things about life. One of the things I've learned from the Bible, when it comes down to the commission, we've spent the commission that God gave us, the Great Commission. I've known this for a long time, and I've believed it and preached it for a long time. But I know and believe that the commission that God gave is for every single Christian. It is not for a certain group. It is for every single born again person that's ever been saved. God gave that commission to us. Nobody whatsoever is included that God did not say, I don't want you to do this great commission. Mrs. Vestal, you gave a great testimony there. You said, I don't have a car, but I'll take a telephone. That's what we're talking about. It's doing it in some way of getting the Word of God out, that there's a wonderful God that loves them and that He wants to save them. So the great commission that God gave us, and we spent quite a bit of time on that great commission here in our Sunday school class, is for absolutely everybody. See, there is nobody that it does not include. Not only that, I've learned something else. I've learned that God wants sinners to be saved. You say that's a simple statement. But I know for a fact from the Word of God that God has done everything possible to save sinners. Gave His Son on the cross of Calvary to save sinners. And I know it is the will of God that every person be saved. I think you've heard me probably make this statement. Did you know that God even would like to see Saddam Hussein saved? Did you know that would be within the perfect will of God that Saddam Hussein be saved? Now, we look at him as a very wicked person, and that he is. But God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I believe that. I don't care who that individual is. I don't care how bad his behavior may be, how wicked he may be. It would be within the perfect will of God that that individual come to Christ and be saved. Now, we know, you and I both know, that there's going to be a lot of people that is not saved. But God wants them saved. Amen? So I've learned that, and I'm very grateful for that. And I also have learned, if God wants something done, it can be done. If God wants the gospel preached to every creature, He gave us that commission because it can be done. Amen? Or He would not have given it to us. So I'm thankful for that. And not only that, I've learned that if God commands something, it must be done. When God commands something, it's something that's not whether we have a choice about the matter, but it's something that must be done. It must be accomplished because God has commanded it. I'm not going to go back all over that, but we specially pulled out of the Gospels and out of the book of Acts 5 different times when God commanded us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He gave it in different ways, but the command was the same, to go out and be a witness. We've entitled this series, Being a Witness. Folks, it's just being a witness 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I believe that's what God gave us to do. Now, in the midst of those hours, there's times when we have specific witnesses. But it's taking Jesus Christ with you, a witness of Jesus Christ. It's taking Him into your kitchen with you. It's taking Him to the telephone with you. It's taking Him to the grocery store with you. It's taking Him to the workplace with you. It's just allowing Jesus Christ to use you as a witness no matter where you are, where you go. I believe that's the command that God gave us. I believe that's what we're supposed to do. Just be aware of souls. There's a little saying, be soul conscious. And I think that's so important. Just be aware of those around you. You're not going to be able to stop every individual along the way and start witnessing to them. I know, because there'll be people pass you by as you're witnessing to one. But if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit will impress upon your heart places to go and people to talk to. That's His work. And I know that He will do that. Amen. So if God wants something done and says it must be done, commands that it be done, then we must do it. The command that God gave us was not just some advice. You know, a lot of times I'll hold my Bible up and say, you know, this is not a book of suggestions. This is a book of commandments. And when God gave the Great Commission to us, it was not something that He counseled us to do, okay if you can, okay if you can't. It was a command of God to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command of God. So what we're even trying to do here is trying to help you fulfill that command, and myself. Amen? We know you can't go out and win the whole world, folks. You can't do it. And a lot of times you're not going to be able to go out and win your whole town. But you can do that in your community, what God has given you to do. You can be a part of it. Amen. Together as a united effort, we can do it. We can get the job done, I believe. So the only way that's going to be done is through individuals going, doing the work that God has given us to do. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. That's what Jesus said. And we know that Jesus was sent to seek and to save that which was lost. And so He says, I send you to do the same thing. Amen. So I guess when I'm saying this, I'm trying to encourage you, don't feel burdened down about this. Don't say, oh boy, this is going to be something they're going to demand of me this. No, it's not even intended to be that. It's intended to be, let's get together and get the gospel out. Let's get together and do everything we can to see to it that people hear the gospel of Christ through the written word, through a voice that tells them. Some way we get it out there that Jesus loves them. Amen. Now, that's not too much to ask. Amen. That's not too much. And all we're asking you to do is to do your part. I had you turn over to Luke, the sixth chapter of the book of Luke. And I want to read, verse 12. Verse 12 says, and it came, sixth chapter book of Luke, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days when he went out unto the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. I just want to stress to you in this, first of all, that Jesus started with 12. That's a small number. But Jesus started with 12 disciples in whom he called apostles. I'm trying to get you to understand it all started with a very small group of people. And that thing spread, and it spread, and it spread. Because people began to do what Jesus said to do. That thing just simply mushroomed. In fact, if we'll go over to the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, a short time after this, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Here we find that Jesus also, now I don't believe that these 70 were the only ones that were saved during that time. I believe there was many saved, but let's take the number 70. We had 12. Now we have another 70, he said. Didn't say the same 12 added in there. He said other 70. We have 70 now more going out and spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had 12. We've got 70. Now we've got 82 people that's going forward. Now, I believe that there's more than that that's got saved, but he's talking about these he appointed to go out two by two. Now, if we will go over back to the book of Acts, to the first chapter of the book of Acts, I really am not trying to give you an exact number, but I'm using the numbers out of the Bible. I think there's many more involved in this than we know, but I'm using the numbers Jesus gave us. Over on the first chapter of Acts, the 12th verse, he says, "They returned they unto Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into upper rooms where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the sons of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Now again, what I'm just basically trying to do here is trying to give you some numbers. The Bible comes along and says, now up in this upper room there were 120 folk. Now that I truly believe there was many more people who had been saved during that time, but this is what gathered in the upper room. 120 gathered up in that upper room that day. Now, I think I mentioned to you about the fact that probably more than likely all of them 3,000 that got saved on the day of Pentecost didn't get saved just because of preachers or Peter's preaching. I think if you were to divide the 120 into 3,000, you get 25 apiece. I don't know how they did it, but these were men and women going around witnessing for Christ. 3,000 souls were saved that day. I don't know that it was just from the preaching of Peter. He got up and preached a tremendous message, but we know that there was 3,000 souls saved, you see, on that day. Now, we find that in the chapter 2 of Acts, verse 47, he says, praising God and having favor with all the people in the church, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We know that on the day of Pentecost there was approximately, well, they said 3,000 people who got saved. Well, we're up now to 3,120 Christians. 3,000. Now, you're talking about within a very few days. I cannot give you the exact amount of days, but you're talking about a very few days this happened. The number is up to 3,120 for sure. I think there is more than that, but number-wise in the Bible, we see that many. Now, we find also that over in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, verse number 4, just a minute. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. We have now added another 5,000 to the 3,120. So we're up to 8,000 people, and that is not even including the women and children. I don't know why that day he said there was 5,000 men that were saved. I don't know, but I would say to you, women and children also got saved that day. He didn't mention them there. If you want to take a good figure, I would say probably there was 20,000 people saved, counting the children, counting the wives, counting the men. But I'm not trying to add to it. I'm not trying to be a preacher and evangelistically trying to add to the numbers. But I'm simply saying to you, I believe that for some reason he recorded only the men that day. And he said there's another 5,000 that were added, you see. Now, in chapter 5, verse number 14, he says, and believers were the more added to the church, multitudes, both of men and women. This is another time. This is not the time we was just talking about where the 5,000 was added. He says multitudes. He didn't say multitude. He put an S on it, said multitudes. Now, how many is a multitude? I don't know. How many is multitudes? I really don't know, but I mean, in my mind, I don't think he's talking about 20 or 30. I think he's talking about thousands. Now, I realize that's my opinion, but I think when he says multitudes, I think he's talking about thousands. He said men and women, multitudes. It may have been as much if a multitude was 5,000, then multitudes is 10,000. I don't know. You know I don't know how many, but folks, we're not talking about small numbers. And so if it was that, we're up to 18,000, and not even counting the ones that we're sure, other ones that were saved, we're not even talking about those, but we're up to 18,000 people who received Christ. Okay? Now, look also, I don't have much time, Acts 6, 6th chapter, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring to the Grecians among the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. If you notice here, once again, he says the number of the disciples were multiplied. You see, and multiplication is always better than addition. Because, I mean, you multiply. I don't know how many was multiplied, but you can begin to put in your own mind how many was multiplied to the 18,000 we already know for sure. And probably a lot more than that, how many was multiplied? Look in verse number 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And once again, we see the multiplying. See, I guess what I'm saying to you, I don't know how many that is. But we're talking about massive numbers of people who come to Christ. And if you look in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, you'll see practically the whole city of Samaria came to Christ under the preaching of Philip, come to Christ. If you go on down and in chapter 10, and when you see this gathering with Cornelius, remember his, folks, if you'll read that, he's not talking about a few family members. You're talking about, I imagine you're talking about probably 100 or 200 people if you read that thing, more than likely. Again, I'm not trying to put numbers on because I don't know how many was there. But that thing at Cornelius' house was not no little thing. Multitudes got saved there at Cornelius' house. So again, I'm simply saying to you, over and over in the Bible, in the early part of the church, you see where people were just multiplied into the church, and the church was just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Thousands upon thousands and thousands of people. Now, let me just give this to you in closing for today. That all started with a group of disciples, you remember when we read that was backslidden, hardened of heart. That started with some disciples where Jesus upbraided them because of their hardness of their heart and their unbelief. He gave them the commission to go out and preach the gospel in the very next verse in Mark 16, verse 14 and 15. He gave them the next verse. He told them, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. What I'm saying is, what God is saying to us is this multiplication works in Blessed Hope as well as it does somewhere else. And if we will just do, and I believe the way that got done was not through, well, I'll save that for next week. But it was done by just people being faithful to doing their part in getting the Word of God out. That's what I believe. I believe that's how it happened. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have radios. They didn't have mass media. It came because individuals went out and told people about Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's what I'm trying to get over to all of us. If we'll do that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, each one of us take that portion that is ours and do our part, you'll be surprised how God can multiply that thing. Amen? And that's what we're asking for. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your love and your kindness and your goodness to us. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the salvation you provided. Thank you for this adult class in Jesus' name. Amen.